In 97, Bruce Powell had a McLuhan conference at York, and I went to it. March 22nd, 23rd, 24th, the weekend the Heaven's Gate people committed suicide, group suicide, with their Nike shoes what bars did I eat? Snickers? Yeah, Snickers. And I don't know if you guys know about the Heaven's Gate scandal.
How does it have anything to do with Snickers?
Oh, when they were found, their dead bodies, they all offed themselves because they wanted to merge with the comet, Hale-Bopp, B-O-P-P, the Hale-Bopp comet. And they had a nut guy that I knew about from back in the 70s leading the cult. So they offed themselves, committed suicide somehow, and they're all found in San Diego or someplace in California with nice Nike sneakers on and Snickers bars beside them. Yeah, look it up. Heaven's Gate. There'll be lots on YouTube news stories about it.
That sounds interesting.
Well, it was a reflection of us because Stang and everybody said, no, that's Hale-Bopp, B-O-B. Okay? and that's after, that's a year before X-Day, July 5th, 1998. So there's a lot of, the couple came from Texas. You could fit it into the subgenius mythology. And I was doing something important that weekend, plus the McLuhan conference. So at the conference, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So Frank Cingroni smuggled me into the special dinner after, the dinner for the main academics. And they get to sit with Eric McLuhan and Mrs. McLuhan. So Zingroni smuggled me in, and I sat at the end of the table, and I was beside David Cook and his wife. And I didn't know David. I knew of him. I knew he was the main colleague of Arthur Croker. So we had a good time, and then David left early with Arthur and Mary Louise, and they went off. I didn't know where they went. But his wife stayed because she was interested in talking to us. So she invited us to her place to stay overnight. So we end up going back to the Cook's house around 10 at night, and there's Arthur and Mary Louise Croker in the den with David. So Arthur and Mary Louise were forced to deal with me. So we, in the course
what
of
an awful night effort, that probably was, huh?
Yeah, for them. But here's what unfolded. Carolyn went to bed. She was tired. She didn't have any interest in the Cokers, really. And so I end up talking about my conversations with McLuhan through the Evergreens. I knew that would freak them out. You know, Bothwell, you know, this and that. And so I didn't know what they thought about that. You know, they didn't respond. They just listened, laughed along with whatever I was purporting to be funny. And then they left. And maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours later. So I had a good chunk with them privately, which was interesting. So then a year later, Derek de Kerckhoff has a conference on McLuhan at the University of Toronto. So I go to that, and the Croakers are invited. So one thing led to another, and it was a two-day conference. So I don't think Croker was there on Friday, but he came on Saturday because he was scheduled to speak at the end of the conference in like 5 o'clock or so. So so everybody went up to this room, and there was a meal, a cafeteria, or just food before the panel that Croker was going to speak on. And so I saw where they sat, I think. I don't think they would sit with me. I saw where they sat. They were at a table by themselves, so I went over and sat with them. I imposed myself on them. And so they were forced to talk to me again. And So all of a sudden we're eating, and then Arthur gets a conspiratorial tone and says, so Bob, what's up tonight? What's going on? And I knew that he'd been invited into enemy territory. All the people around at the Kerckhoff conference were not – they didn't understand Croker. They thought Croker was nuts, and they didn't appreciate Croker like I did. So he somehow knew that there might be a setup going on. So he said, what's really going on, Bob? Which was interesting that he confided in me. It's almost like he knew I was an outsider, too. So I said, they've set you up, Arthur, so I suggest you take your hardest and best slap shot.
Nice.
And Mary Louise is a very cool artist kind of person. She was shocked. She looked over at Arthur. They looked at each other like, what the fuck? Who is this guy? How does he know? What are that? Like, they were, it worked. Really impressed them. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure Croker, he probably played hockey when he was
He did.
A kid.
I knew they, yeah, it was in an article on him. He played like me in amateur leagues. He did play hockey. So that was in my mind, too. It just came to me, instant channeling. It was a beautiful line. Take your best slap shot. You know, just drive the puck at them, which he already was doing when I'd seen him in 94, you know, over talking and knowing no what to have to sit there for 45 minutes and listen to stuff that you have no clue what he's talking about. And so I love the way she looked at him. They looked at each other right in front of me and said, what the? They did their little ESP. This guy's interesting or something. Okay. So it comes true. A couple of people speak on the panel, and then Croker gets up and he does his talk. And right in the, like, geez, they didn't let him talk very long. Tom Cooper or Logan got up and said, just walked up, and you don't do this in an academic thing. You don't go up and interrupt the guy's talk, but this is where they're not respecting him and came in, not respecting him. First of all, I think a woman, feminist scholar, got up and criticized Arthur. Maybe that started it. And Arthur, he gave a few remarks, but his wife, Mary Louise, who I was sitting right behind, she spoke up and defended Arthur at the feminist. And so they had to tag team him.
That's awesome.
From the audience.
Did you get a word in?
What?
Did you get a word in? Did you have anything
to say?
Well,
leading up to. Well, no, okay.
Bob, let me just say, though, that they're not like us at all. I would have been attacking you.
Yeah, you would have taken advantage of someone that jumped on her shoulders and jumped on me. That's right. But I've heard that that he is a very shy, dependent guy on Mary Louise or something. You know, they're codependent, or he's codependent or something. But I don't know if that's true, but it was interesting how she jumped in and didn't let him. He did a little argument, but maybe she felt that he didn't say enough. So she went after the woman, and then it calmed down. But it that stopped. The woman sat down. But then shortly after that, partly because of this opening volley by the woman, Tom Cooper Logan jumps up and says, I have McLuhan right here with me right now. I'm channeling. I don't know if he used the word channel, but he was saying that McLuhan had something to say to Arthur, and he was coming to Logan or Tom Cooper, okay, who were longtime colleagues of McLuhan. And they started saying stuff and putting him down. You're all wrong, blah, 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 which was that. They fucking set him up. I mean, you don't do that. But these guys didn't like the fact that Croker was the McLuhan of the 90s. You know, usurped those guys, but they thought they'd be the McLuhan of the 90s. So they were out to get him. I don't know if DeKirchhoff would have done that, but anyways, these guys attacked Arthur claiming to be McLuhan. That McLuhan was speaking through this guy, let's say Tom Cooper. And after a while, Mary Louise turns back to me. Like, she tips her head back to me, and I was right behind her, and she says, isn't this your department? You know, Chandler? I thought that was amazing. They remembered that I had talked to McLuhan. And so I waited, and it became quite ridiculous. And eventually everybody calmed down. And then they probably had a few more speakers. And then Liz Jeffries came. She was the moderator. And she came on and made a summary statement and stopped the panel, which would stop that was it. It was all over. And I got up and said, wait a minute. And I walked up to the front. and she could have told me to sit down because I wasn't an official prof there or anything, official professor, but I just walked forward, probably channeling Ion, didn't even know it. This is 11 years before Ion, but I'm already a powerful person, but don't really know it, keep it in under wraps. And, so I stride forward, and I think she was going to say sit down, but she just suddenly shut up. And I said something like this. I said, you know, I met a man once and people could talk, ghosts could talk through him. And so I got McLuhan to talk to me through this guy. And I asked him, and this is 98, people are just getting on the web, but they're still nervous about it. They don't really start getting on until 95, 96, 97, when the ACPP and Netscape allowed people to get on. So it's still an early phase. So I asked McLuhan if he would engage on the Internet. Would he take on the technology? What would he do with that new world, the Android meme? And McLuhan said, yes, I would create a website, but I would get James Joyce to write the instructions on how to find it. You get that? You know, James Joyce, who can't read, is Phineas Wake. It's fucking illegible for, unreadable for most people. So you have to know that Joyce is difficult to read. And so McLuhan would make himself hidden because he'd get James Joyce to give the instructions on how to find the site. But you wouldn't be able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is totally McLuhan's method, Lay in the hidden ground, but sort of be out there.
Well, that's what you do, Bob.
Yes.
You're all over the place, yet you're under the radar.
Yeah. Now, I could I think I could play you that because – the man I met, I didn't want to go into the talk about the evergreens, but that is actually what McLuhan said to me through the evergreens, like a couple of years before. I was quoting McLuhan, but I pretended, okay, I met a man, and he could channel people, so I had McLuhan. So I said that, and everybody laughed. Everybody got it. And it was a big success, a joke. And so I walked away. Like I did with Tom Wolfe on C-SPAN in February 98. You can see that on the Alex Kuskus McLuhan's Galaxy site where I, on C-SPAN, it was recorded, I nailed Tom Wolfe in 98. So I nailed the whole, I don't know what I did, but it was a victory, I think. I took a victory walk back to my chair. And a day or so later, I called Coker. He was back in Montreal. And that first thing he said, he said, that was awesome what you did, Bob. That was incredible. He really complimented me on what I did and said. Arthur Croker. Yeah, he really praised me.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was a beautiful ending and prophetic to what was coming because eventually we'd be getting Ion, right? And McLuhan with us with Ion. So I as all my actions before Ion showed up, anticipated Iondom. And I did it there. Mm-hmm. And, as a matter of fact, I remember looking over to Kirchhoff, who I didn't have much respect for, he was sitting beside the podium. So I start off talking about the man, and I turned to Derek and I looked down at him. He was sitting like on the floor on the radiator, and I said, "You might be interested in Derek. You might want to know about this." So I sort of addressed him, and then I told my story, and it worked. So okay, so that's Croker. And I won't say that part. There was a personal thing he said about people at the conference. He commented on them, and he let de Kirchhoff off the hook. He said, "I like de Kirchhoff." So, and de Kirchhoff is more in the art world, which Coker is involved in. So he didn't like the other guys, but he liked de Kirchhoff. So,
and you like de Kirchhoff now too.
Yeah, he's okay now because he'll talk to me,
Yeah, he's one of the only ones that will do long-term dialogues.
Yes, and he even said back when, a year or two ago, when they had a conference in Media Ecology Association in Bologna, Italy, he told Logan and Eric, who were going to speak there, he's not part of that group, so he wasn't going to speak there, but he was living in Rome. He told them to come down and see him in Rome. And they never responded to his emails. So he said to me, I didn't bring up anything. He said, maybe they're pissed off that I'm talking to you because we were doing our recordings. So he suspected that they were mad at him and acknowledging me. But then later he did get an email from Logan and Eric or something apologized. They missed communication and they missed the opportunity. They had no problem with him. They would have gone there if they could have. But I found out that de Kirchhoff knew of the controversy of himself, which I had not said to him. Okay, so that's Coker's